Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. 34 after. Thanks for hanging around. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My website is www.jbsba.com. That's jbsba.com. That's the acronym for Jim Blasingame, Small Business Advocate. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Don't forget to check out all the other things there. Thousands of archives, hundreds, probably maybe over 1,000 articles by now. I haven't counted them lately. And at least a couple of hundred of those are mine. So you can check those out. Lots of things that you can do there. It's a little bit of small business heaven. So that's jbsba.com. Rick Pinion is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. And he's our financial planning expert in the Brain Trust. He's the president of Pinion Financial Services, and he's our good friend. Rick, welcome back to the show.
Well, good morning, Jim. How are you this morning?
Doing great. It's good to have you back, Rick, as always. And ladies and gentlemen, Rick is a member of the securities industry. He works in the securities industry, which, as you've heard me say before, has a little bit of a different attitude about the information that they provide. Those of us who don't work in the securities industry, although I did at one time, we operate by the rule of caveat emptor, let the buyer beware. That's the law. But in the securities industry, caveat emptor doesn't exist. Basically, it's full disclosure. And on that note, Rick has a little statement he needs to make. Go ahead, Rick.
That's right. Jim, I'd like to remind the listeners that discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. You should always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through SunAmerica Securities Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer, member NASD and SIPC, and Pinion Financial Services and SunAmerica Securities are not affiliated. Thank you very much.
And ladies and gentlemen, good job, Rick. And you'd be amazed, ladies and gentlemen, before when Rick was single many, many years ago, that was a great pickup line, wasn't it, Rick?
Yeah, you could work at any bar.
Yeah, yeah. The girls would just melt in front of you, right, when you give them that line.
Especially down in D.C. next to the SEC headquarters.
Oh, yeah, they love that. Oh, please give me that disclaimer line again, Rick. Rick, one of the things that I know you want to talk about today is some information about the IRA, about the ultimate disposition of our IRAs. And as you know, the largest group of Americans are the baby boomers. And as you also know, we're not, most of us aren't old enough to start taking out our IRAs, but most of us are old enough to start thinking about planning for when that would happen. And on that note, you've got a quiz that you want us to take, don't you?
Yeah, I thought we'd have a little fun this morning and give the listeners a pop quiz.
Only you would think a quiz would be fun, though, Rick.
Right. Well, it's both educational and fun.
Right, okay.
And I'll tell you something. Most people out there probably have an IRA. It's probably the most common investment retirement product that's out there, especially small business owners.
It's been around the longest, for one thing.
Yeah, since 1974.
Mm-hmm.
That's when Congress decided to do something about our futures.
Right. Well, let's take the quiz. We got 10 questions here, right?
Yeah, should we start at the beginning?
Sure, uh-huh.
Okay. Let's start with question number one. At what date must you begin taking your minimum distributions from your IRA?
Now, folks, write these your answers down here, because we're gonna give you a grade at the end of this thing. If you can kind of keep up with this thing, go ahead. The question is, at what date must you begin minimum distribution of your IRAs? And here's the answers.
All right.
Go ahead.
Yeah. A is age 70. B is 70 and a half. C is April 1st of the year you turn 70 and a half, and D is April 1st of the year after you turn 70 and a half. So it's either 70, 70 and a half, April 1st of the year that you turn 70 and a half, or lastly, April 1st of the year after you turn 70 and a half.
Okay, everybody got that now. What do you think the answer is, folks? Make your choice, because Rick's about to give us the answer.
I hear that clock ticking in the background.
That's right. Like yeah, you can hear the Jeopardy music in the background, can't you?
Right.
So, all right, what's the answer?
Okay, the answer is, ladies and gentlemen, it's April 1st after the year that you turn 70 and a half.
So if you turn 70 and a half in August of 2004, then you have to begin distribution by April 1st of 2005.
Right, exactly. So that's a very important consideration, and a lot of people have to be concerned about that once they start reaching their, you know, their late 60s or early 70s. They start thinking about required minimum distributions.
Why 70 and a half, though? Do you know that?
I don't know what the rationale behind that is.
For the half, I don't understand that. I never understood that. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. We got more quiz, more of our IRA quiz right after these messages with our good friend Rick Pinion. 20 Till, stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Rick Pinion. He's with Pinion Financial Services in Bethesda, Maryland, which is hard by to our nation's capital. Rick, why don't you give us your website, please?
Yes, it's www.pinionfinancial, which is one word, pinionfinancial.com. If you forget Pinion, just remember opinion without the O.
Yeah. That's opinion, not opossum, folks. It's opinion
right.
Without the O, and they put a dot com on the end there. All right, we're talking about a quiz, folks. We got a lovely little quiz here for you IRA folks who have IRAs and you're anticipating one day taking your money out of your IRA. The first question was, when do you have to take your money out? And it's April 1st after, in the year after you turn 70 and a half. But here's question number two. Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, the question is, should you usually wait until this date before you take out your first minimum distribution?
So that date was the mandatory. You have to begin taking out a minimum distribution, but you don't. But you can obviously take it out before that, right?
Sure. In fact, the government doesn't mind if you do that because obviously when you take it out, it's taxable. But the big looking at the big picture, a lot of people say, well, gee, I'll wait until the next year, you know, after April 1st to take it out. But when you think about it, there's a problem there. And that is if you have a fairly large IRA, suppose you had like $1 million in your IRA,
mm-hmm.
and you start taking out these large sums, you're going to have to take out two the following year if you don't take it out in the year that you turn 70 and a half. Well, that may cause a problem in terms of your tax return. It may push you into a higher tax bracket.
Mm-hmm.
So many times when we sit down with clients and we do a cash flow projection and look at their tax return, many times we'll recommend that they take out the first one in the year that they turn 70 and a half and then wait and take out another one the following year.
Right.
So from a tax management point of view, as long as they don't need the cash, they're better off.
Now, when you turn 70 and a half and take your money out of the IRA, take money out of an IRA, is that money taxable?
Yeah, because remember...
It's always taxable, isn't it?
Yeah, unless it's a Roth IRA.
Right, right.
But here we're talking about traditional IRAs.
Right.
Or rollover IRAs.
Mm-hmm. So the government wants to make sure that there is income tax paid on this, at least to some degree. They want you to go ahead and start distributing it. All right. So the answer to that question is that you probably should go ahead and take it out. Start taking it out beforehand. What's the earliest you can take it out? We don't have it. That question's not on here, is it?
Well, the earliest you can take it out without paying a penalty is 59 and a half.
Okay.
So what some people do is they plan their retirement and they say, okay, at 59 and a half, I'm going to start taking some money in my IRA and not pay that 10% penalty.
Right.
Or they could annuitize it before 59 and a half. We call that 72T,
mm-hmm.
72T in the regulations. But I think what we're focusing on today is for people that are looking for retirement income.
Right. All right. Okay, number three, give us that question.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. I love this question. It says,
yeah.
What is the penalty if you do not take out enough?
So if you take out less than the minimum amount and you wait, if you wait either beyond 70 and a half or you take out less than the minimum, there's a penalty, right?
Yeah, and people don't make mistakes on purpose. They make mistakes because they just don't have enough information. So the question is, what is the penalty? Let's give some suggested answers.
This is going to surprise people, I think.
Yeah, I'll give you a hint. It's one of the highest penalties that the IRS has. Answer A is 10%. Answer B is 25%. Answer C is 50%. And answer D is 75%.
Well, the answer is, ladies and gentlemen, not the highest one, but it's next to the highest. Mm-hmm. 50%. That's an incredible number to think about being penalized, after working all that time to earn that money and to invest it wisely and to discipline yourself, and then to have the IRS take half of what you didn't pay yourself. That's ridiculous, actually, in my opinion.
Yeah. So in other words, if you were supposed to take out $20,000, and let's say you only took out $10,000, then they're going to penalize you. You're going to take out 50% of what you should have taken out, which is, be another $5,000 tax penalty.
That's right. Half of the $10,000 you didn't take out.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's pretty stiff. So, folks, now you hopefully, especially those of you who are moving toward these days, now you see the importance of being educated on what you're required to do. Okay, let's go to number four. What's the fourth question?
Yeah, four is a lot of fun. I always love this question. It says, "Who can you name as beneficiaries to your retirement account?"
Mm-hmm.
And let's look at the suggested
answer. Now, folks, you have to understand, Rick is a great resource. He's a wonderful financial planner, but he, he doesn't have much of a life. When this kind of a question really excites him, then you know Rich, we got to get you out more.
Okay.
Rick.
Got to walk around the block.
That's right. We've got to get you out a little more. Go ahead. So the question is, who can you name as beneficiary to your IRA? All right, go ahead.
Okay. The suggested answers are A, spouse; B, children; C, grandchildren; D, pets, that's P-E-T-S, or E, any of the above.
Actually, I have an F example, Rick.
What's that?
Jim Blassingame. Well, you should have my name on there.
Yeah, J.B.
Or could you name me beneficiary to your IRA? And here's the answer. Go ahead.
The answer is any of the above.
Yeah.
So if you've got a monkey or a parakeet or anyone that you want to name, now, of course, that's not
the best. Or your favorite talk show host.
Exactly, your radio personality. But it's interesting because the IRS pretty much allows you to name whoever you want to. Now, that doesn't say you have to. It's just that the law allows it.
That you can.
I can see some real problems if you name your parakeet as the beneficiary and then you pass away.
That's right.
It has to go to court, and some judge decides who's going to be the guardian of the parakeet.
Well, obviously it would be the brothers and sisters of the parakeet. They'd have to pass along to their family. Rick is also a radio personality. He has his own radio show, too, on Sunday. When we come back, we're going to tell you about that, and we're going to ask some more questions of your IRA knowledge. Tin Till, stay with us. We'll be right back. Here's Joe Cocker to take us out. Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Rick Pinion. And Rick has got a radio show, and it's in the D.C. area, right, Rick?
Yeah, in fact, let me tell our listeners how they can catch me on Sunday morning. That's 9 to 10 Sunday morning. I know it's early for some and late for others, but you can get me on the Internet on WTNTAM, that's WTNTAM 570.com. TNT is just like dynamite.
Right. And so check that out, folks. It's all about financial planning from 9 to 10 on Sunday mornings. And congratulations to you, Rick. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, thank you. The name of the show is Retire in Style.
And, of course, don't forget pinionfinancial.com, right, Rick? That's the
right.
Mm-hmm. That's the website for his business if you want to check him out. Are you still doing your area training programs, the seminars that you were doing? Are you still doing those?
Yeah, in fact, we had a real big one here last Saturday.
Yeah.
We filled the capacity, a ballroom at the Poots Marriott in Bethesda, Maryland.
So you got another one coming up?
Yeah, it has September 28th and October 2nd. If you go to my website, you can get all the details.
All right. And those are free, but you got to have a seat, right?
Yeah, we almost ran out of them.
You got to have a seat to attend. Rick, let's in the interest of time, let's move down to number 7. And talk about, I'm sorry, not number 7, number 8. Let's move down to number 8 and ask this question. We're asking IRA questions, folks, and we're checking your IRA IQ. Go ahead, Rick.
Okay, it says, if I name a child as my primary beneficiary of the IRA, what options does he or she have with respect to their minimum distributions if I pass away? A, is they have to take it out within 1 year. B, within 5 years. C, is over his or her lifetime. And D, is A, B, or C.
So the question is whether when we die, if our beneficiaries have to have any kind of a different distribution method than we did, basically.
Right.
And so the answer is.
And the answer is they can use anyone they want to. However, in my opinion, when we sit down with clients and especially with children, we want to try to encourage them to stretch it out over their lifetime. Can you imagine? If the child inherits, let's say, $500,000 IRA, and they take out a little bit each year over their lifetime, mm-hmm. that's going to magnify the results of that IRA, assuming it grows, you know, in a prudent manner. Of course, nothing's guaranteed.
Right.
But that could multiply the effect of that IRA many times over. And, of course, they have to do certain paperwork, and they should be meeting with a financial planner to make that possible.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the paperwork is not done correctly, then they're going to be forced to take it out within 5 years.
Right. All right, number nine is, let's talk about number nine.
Okay, number nine, I just turned 70 and a half and married, and my spouse is my beneficiary, and he or she is 67 years old. What is my best choice in order to calculate my required minimum distribution? A is recalculation. B is term certain. Boy, this gets technical, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
C is hybrid. D depends on circumstances, and E, it doesn't matter.
Now, folks, we got some good news. The answer, we have really good news on the answer here. After Rick said all those technical terms, the answer is E, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter anymore.
So
but
that's
it used
good
to.
News.
It used to. But the laws have changed now, so they're making things a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
So regardless of who your beneficiary is, it really doesn't matter, with one exception, Jim. And that is if your spouse is 10 years younger than you are, then there's a special table that you can use. But in the meantime, it really doesn't matter because the beneficiary is independent of how the money's taken out.
Right. All right, let's go to number 10.
Number 10, once I turn 70 and a half, must I start depleting my IRA? A is yes, B is no, and C is maybe.
All right. Now I thought. Now this answer is surprising me a little, Rick. I thought the answer was going to be yes.
Yeah. Well, see, the secret here is that once you turn age 70 and a half, the IRS says that they don't want to force you to take it all out at one time.
Right. So
they have a table that they use based on your life expectancy, but you have until April 1st of the following year before you have to take out your first required minimum distribution.
Mm-hmm.
So, you may be depleting your IRA principal, but the IRS does not require this.
Right.
We're hoping that you're earning enough interest on your money.
So the question is the issue is whether you're talking about the principal or just any minimum withdrawal is what you're asking us there, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're hoping that your IRA earns more than, let's say, hypothetically, 4%.
So Rick, I got to go because we're coming up on the end. Thank you for being here. Rick Pinion, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll be right back. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.